Special segment coming up in the next half hour regarding America's Veterans Dogs, and a very special event tomorrow. We'll talk with the CEO on that first, though. You know this individual very well, having been a gubernatorial candidate, an assemblyman, a county executive in Suffolk County, and, of course, the president of Common Sense Strategies. Does a wonderful job as far as expression is concerned. His name is Steve Levy. Nice enough to give us a couple here on a Wednesday morning. Sir, how are you?
Hey, great to be with you, Jay, with so many things happening in Suffolk County today. I don't know where to start.
6 o'clock every morning. I kind of take my pick here, but in essence, I think front and center, Steve, is what's happening as far as the asylum seekers and the overflow of New York City into areas around the state. Governor getting involved, mayor getting involved. But all in all, it looks like Suffolk County about to be home to many, according to the latest reports. Give me a sense as far as what's going on here.
Do me a favor, Jay, and I ask this of all residents of Suffolk County. Stop using the liberal talking point, not that you were doing this intentionally, of asylum seeker. That is a game being played by the illegal immigration advocates to try to morph the distinction between legal and illegal immigration. You know, it used to be that very clear that you had to come here the legal way. If you came here without authorization, you were an illegal immigrant. But the illegal immigration lobby started to play these word games. Well, no person is illegal, so you're just a migrant. And now that term migrant is morphing to asylum seeker. Why is that? Because
Steve, let me interrupt you for a second. Let me interrupt you for a second.
Yeah.
I say asylum seeker in respect. And listen, we know that they are illegal aliens. We know that.
Right.
We know that they're individuals, and we know where the source is and everything else as far as where it's at. I call them asylum seekers. I call them illegal aliens. I say that with respect to the individuals themselves.
Yes.
Who are coming here to find a better way from their homeland. Okay, so I say that with the utmost respect as far as a human being to another human being. With that being said, yes, they are illegals. Source, the southern border. Go ahead.
Here's the trap we fall into with this. What the illegal immigration lobby wants to do is create an air of legality for these people when they're actually here illegally. We heard it from the Suffolk County executive. We heard it from a Republican legislator. We hear it from all the illegal immigration advocates saying, oh, no, they're not here illegally. They're asylum seekers. And as soon as you say, I'm seeking asylum, we're suddenly supposed to say, okay, you're here legally. That's baloney. It's not true. This is the problem that was created by President Biden, and it can be stopped tomorrow. Tomorrow, right now, actually, he could just reinstitute the Remain in Mexico policy and say, if you are seeking asylum, that's fine, but you have to do it outside the U.S. The game they're playing now is, hey, come on over. And in the past, when you used to run away from the Border Patrol people because you were here illegally, they're now saying, oh, I'm an asylum seeker, so now you have to allow me to stay. And it's untrue. They don't have to allow you to stay. If only Biden would do what Trump did, and that is to reinstitute the Remain in Mexico policy, this problem goes away tomorrow. But why aren't they doing it? It's because they want this flood of humanity to come over here and listen to what Governor Hochul said the other day. We want to allow for citizenship for these folks. Why do they want citizenship for these folks? So they can vote. How do they vote? Six to seven out of ten of them will vote Democratic. This is a ruse. This is a game, and Suffolk and Long Island are being overloaded because you have a mayor in New York who created a sanctuary city who said, come on over, we welcome you, we're humanitarians. And now all of a sudden he's realizing they can't handle it. So you guys in Suffolk have an obligation to take the overload. It's garbage. It's ridiculous. I'm glad the Republicans in the legislature are fighting back, and they should stand up to the illegal immigration lobby who will claim that they're humanitarians. Jay, there's nothing humanitarian in overflowing our schools, overflowing our emergency rooms, now having a case where our veterans can't get housing because they have to make room for housing for people who are here illegally. It's a disgrace.
How about throw Steve Ballone into the mix, for crying out loud? You know, he's basically stating, you know what? We got to be a little more humane. We got to find a way to help people. Come on! Come on! Wake up, Mr. County Exec. Do you see what's happening here? I mean, give me a break. I mean, at least give credit to Blakeman, for crying out loud, who said he is not going to have Nassau as a sanctuary area. Won't have it. Said it. Give credit to Yvette Aguiar, supervisor of the Riverheads, who said, not my neck of the woods. Not in my neck of the woods. Declaring a state of emergency there. Give him credit for that. Okay, we had them both on the program. Give him credit. Yep. But the fact of the matter is, you know what? Adams is kind of saying things, but can you say the thing? The thing is, Mr. President, hold the influx at the border. Yes. Close it up.
You're absolutely right.
But he won't. We know that. Neither will Kathy Hochul. I mean, come on. We know that.
Voters.
We know that. It's a political game. We know the deal. But let me tell you, Steve Ballone is in that mix, Steve Levy.
So many of these elected officials are scared. Some of them just want this influx because they want to create citizenship for them and have them vote. It's to create and enhance their power. Others are just scared of saying this because Newsday is going to write an editorial against them, calling them xenophobic. You've got, you know, these illegal immigrant groups that come out with their lawyers, who, by the way, make a lot of money off of this stuff. They get paid by the federal government to go out there and lobby for more illegal immigration. It's a cottage industry, Jay. It's unbelievable. But so many elected officials, I saw it when I was there. You see it now. They will tell me privately, you know, I think this is terrible what's going on, but I'm scared. If I speak up, they're going to call me a bigot. They're going to say I'm a nativist and xenophobic. Be an elected official. Stand up. Stand up for the people of this area. And I ask you, Jay, what is humanitarian about overloading our schools so our kids with special needs no longer get the attention they need from their teachers because their teachers are spread too thin? What is humanitarian about having our residents go into an emergency room and they have to wait 6 hours to be cared for because the emergency rooms are overflowing in large part because we have so many illegal aliens in this country? We are caring people. We want more immigrants. We want them to come in the legal way. And for those who blur the distinction between legal and illegal, or now use this term asylum seeker, that all these people are here legally, Jay, there's 8 billion people on Earth. About 4 billion won't come here. Are we now saying that the 1.4 billion people in China who live under authoritarian rule under President Xi should be able to come here and just say, I'm seeking asylum, and you have to let them all in? How about the people living under, you know, oppression in all the other parts of the world? We can double the population of America within the next 10 years if this isn't stopped right now. We need elected officials with backbones to stand up to the editorialists who are crazy, to the illegal immigration lobby, and to the other cowardly legislators who will not stand up. By the way, I got one more thing to say before I forget. Kathy Hochul, who's now going around as the great humanitarian and who wants to give citizenship to all the illegal aliens, you know what her claim to fame was? Do you know how she became lieutenant governor, how she became a congresswoman up in Buffalo? When she was a county clerk, she led a drive to stop illegal aliens from being able to get driver's licenses, okay? That's how she made her name. She then became a congressperson, became lieutenant governor, is now governor. Now, all of a sudden, it's inhumane and you're xenophobic if you're against illegal aliens being in this country. What a farce. What a bunch of hypocrites and cowards, Jay.
Deal. We know the deal. There's no backbone at all when it comes to Eric Adams. I'm sorry. You know, don't go crying about the, you know, we got to expedite the permits for the workers out there, you know, that a house. And you know, let's call it as it is, Mr. Matt, please. Let's call it. And forget Kathy Hochul. Kathy, you know what Kathy Hochul's claim to fame is? She used to call me every other week as a lieutenant governor wanting to come on the show. You know, cutting another ribbon here, another ribbon there, and for some butterfly arboretum. That's what she's good for.
Yeah, well,
okay, she is not prepared for this job. Not prepared at all, I'll tell you that.
Still right.
Shame on Steve Ballone. Shame on him. Look how he has conducted himself with a cyber attack and everything else that took place. What a bunch of garbage. Accepting some responsibility for the attack, but blaming others as always. He's the manager of the county, isn't he? Blaming the county clerk's office. And, by the way, it's information technology director whom he suspended. Okay? Wait till that tidal wave. An absolute disgrace as far as how people conduct themselves that claim to be we in trouble. Steve,
Jay,
leave me
look
here.
Look at all these managers. Messages matter, okay? When Biden sends a message that we welcome a surge, he actually said that in the campaign. We want a surge. People hear this, okay? When Mayor Adams says, we're a sanctuary city, we welcome you, they hear this, they come. Then he gets overwhelmed. He says, oh, we can't take it anymore. We have to stop this. But he never tells Biden to close the border. He just says, we need more money. At the same time he's saying, we can't handle this, he's saying, let's give them work permits. What do you think that says to people? Hey, not only can we cross the border and stay, but these idiot elected officials are going to give us work permits, and they're going to make us citizens, and they'll put us up in $300 a night hotels. Why the hell wouldn't I come over as an illegal immigrant? These guys are out of their minds. These are our leaders. We need leaders with some backbone. Listen, I went through this, Jay. You remember when I was county executive, I was one of the first ones saying, look, we welcome legal immigrants. We oppose illegal immigrants. What did they do? They basically tarred me as being xenophobic. And then when that poor fellow, Marcelo Lucero, died, was murdered in Patchogue, Newsday basically blamed me for his murder, claiming that I had blood on my hands because I was against illegal immigration. These are the games that these liberals play, and the average Suffolk resident cannot play into it. We have to stay strong. We know we are the humanitarians because we're concerned not only about taxpayers, but about the elderly who need care, about our children who need care, about citizens here in America who need care. You just have to bring in people in an orderly way. And what they're basically doing here is opening up our borders for 8 billion people on Earth. And I'll tell you, this is a change in America forever. We're doomed if we don't do something fast on this. And it can be done tomorrow, Jay, tomorrow. If President Biden would just say, I'm reinstituting the Remain in Mexico policy.
No, he won't.
He won't do it. You don't hear Adams telling him to do that. You don't hear any Democrat on Long Island asking him to do that. You don't hear Kathy Hochul asking him to do that. They want these people coming because they want to give them citizenship. They want to give them the right to vote because they know 6 out of 10 of them will vote Democrat.
And again, you know, we want people to seek refuge in a country that'll make them better people with their families. Want it done the right way. We don't even vet people anymore. We got gangs coming in here. Come on. We got fentanyl coming in here. We've been talking about this forever. It'll never happen. Listen, all you had to do was halt Title 42. Forget this Title 8 garbage. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. You get a court date in 2032. Come back. We'll take care of it then. We know that. You know, I mean, it's such a bunch of nonsense. All you got to do is put a halt to 42. You know, you forget the rebuilding the wall or finishing it. That would never happen. Listen, catch and release, stay in Mexico. That's how you make it happen. It's a bunch of nonsense. We shall see. It's tough, very tough to watch. Now it's going to happen in Suffolk County. Stony Brook, folks, if you're paying attention, New York One reporting Stony Brook is going to be a landing spot along with some other universities. So that's what's happening.
How
Steve
dare
Levy.
These people, though?
Huh?
How dare these people in New York City say, you have a moral obligation on Long Island to take on all these people. We didn't declare ourselves sanctuary cities. No, yes, there were some county executives who did. I did not. Okay. They did roll open the red carpet. But the city did this. The city said, we're sanctuary cities, come here. Then they get overwhelmed. They say, oh, no, we can't handle it. We need your help. Hey, you made this bed, folks. Now you lie in it. Don't ask others to pick up the pieces for your failed policy. Tell the president to reverse remain in Mexico. Put those people back in foreign country to apply here. This matter can be solved tomorrow.
By many have left the state of New York. My goodness, one of many, many reasons. Steve Levy with us. Also on the docket, Mr. Levy, is William Floyd. And taxes and, you know, the budget and $1,000 off and everything else. Give me a sense of what you saw as far as Super Tuesday was in May.
Yeah, well, I'm the executive director of a think tank, the Center for Cost Effective Government. And we issued a statement praising the William Floyd School District for cutting taxes by a remarkable $1,000 per household. And what's amazing to me, Jay, and to us at the center is these schools are flooded with money right now after COVID. In fact, another thing to talk about is how flush Nassau and Suffolk are with money. We did an expose in my newspaper, Long Island Life and Politics. People could just go to Long Island LifePolitics.com and read our explosive bombshell story that Suffolk County is sitting on $700 million in reserves that came from COVID. And at the same time, they want to increase our sales tax for sewers. They can pay for it through that money that they are now. But they are awash in money. Schools are awash in money, more money than they ever had ever. Yet there are school districts out there that were raising taxes by 4%, 5%, 7% this year. And look at William Floyd. They said, we have all this extra money. We're going to give taxpayers a break, and not like by $10, $1,000 a household. So the question here is, Jay, if William Floyd can do it, why can't every other school district on Long Island? When they say it's impossible, it's unmanageable, it's too costly, this, it's that, look at William Floyd. They've shown the way. They did it for their taxpayers. It's time for all these other schools, all these other governments, they get on the same path, cut people's taxes. Enough already. They were washing money. Give it back to the taxpayer.
I do think, though, there are other areas that these dollars need to be applied, Steve, as far as the districts are concerned. Safety, maybe security guards, more personnel. Yep. We know we need more counselors. As far as per student, there's just not enough in that regard. So then, you know, somehow, some way, we got to shore up the security of the institution, no?
Absolutely. Listen, my newspaper is also editorialized about five times saying every school on Long Island, from elementary school to high school, should have a retired officer on the premises who's armed. They're trained. They're inexpensive because they're capped out at $30,000 per person. You hire them part-time. You hire several of them part-time. It's not a tremendous amount of money in the grand scheme of things. They have the money, and I agree with you. Not all the money should go back to the taxpayer's dollar for dollar. Let's give the taxpayers a little break, but let's use that money for needed purposes. And one of the biggest needs is making sure we have an armed presence. I'm not getting into arming teachers or people who are untrained, that everybody's got a gun in a school. I'm just talking about a trained officer. We can do it. They're doing it in a bunch of schools now, from Smithtown to some places in Babylon. There's about a dozen schools now on the island who are doing this. We need all 125,000 school districts to do this. It makes common sense.
And I want to reiterate here. I mean, I'm not looking for Sheriff Andy Taylor from Mayberry, okay?
Right.
To come out with a gun and everything else, you know, set 8 years from the job itself. You know, I'm looking for people who are going to protect 100% of every direction here as far as keeping kids safe. That's what I'm looking for. So
absolutely. And seconds matter in these instances, not minutes. Seconds matter, and the police are awesome. You know, they can get there in 10 minutes, 12 minutes, but there's a lot of carnage that can happen in 10 or 12 minutes. And we can be debating gun control, AK-47, from now until doomsday. It may happen, it may not happen, fine if it happens, but let's not count on it for happening. In the meantime, you can have real results and a real enhancement of safety if you have that officer on the premises who can take action into his own hands.
Every school, first and foremost, you know, security is key. You know, we don't put Kevlar doors on. Listen, lock the damn doors, for crying out loud. And let's get some metal detectors in these schools. It has to be. It has to be. 1 year, by the way, 1 year ago, hard to believe, Uvalde, right? Let's think about Uvalde, Texas, or what, a year ago. We got to be smarter here. Now, also, we got to be smarter regarding our school libraries here. What in the heck has happened with, you know, you got pornographic material? What is going on?
If people only knew some of the content that are on the bookshelves within our newspaper, Long Island Life and Politics, did a big expose on this 2 weeks ago. And we actually, I warn people, you know, go on to the site. We actually had to post the pictures because we had to show people what our kids are looking at. It's pornographic. It's horrible. We felt the obligation, though, to publish it because people have to see what their kids can get their hands on. Not only the photos, but the actual text, the materials, actual outright pornography, pedophilia that's being encouraged in these books. It's just mind-boggling. And when some parents have approached school boards to say, you know, you've got to get these off the shelves, they come back, oh, well, we don't want to ban books. How stupid can you be? We're not talking about banning books for adults. Any adult can go out there and buy anything they want. We're talking about age appropriateness for children. You don't allow a Hustler magazine to be in a school library. Why would you allow a pornographic book in a school library? You don't allow a 15-year-old to go see an X-rated movie, you know, but you're going to allow pornographic materials in a library? So it's sad because the school boards are becoming radicalized. In some cases with critical race theory, teaching our kids that America sucks, that it's just an irredeemably racist place, that black kids can't get ahead, and white kids are oppressors. And then it's got this other garbage where, you know, they're just promoting pornography in these books. And, you know, it's a shame that our school board members are scared to stand up because some crazy far-out liberal group is going to call them a book burner. And it's absolute nonsense.
And you look at the Democratic North Carolina governor in Roy Cooper, Steve, who declared a state of emergency Monday. You know, the attempt to stop the state ledge from passing a school choice bill. I mean, you know, it's getting to the point of absolute lunacy here. Absolute lunacy as far as what's happening within our educational institutions. And Ralph Cooper.
Right, no,
look what happened with Ralph Cooper. the other day.
A bright note is there was a woman, a legislator, a Democrat, who lashed out against her own party, and she's getting vilified from the teachers' unions and just about every Democrat in the state who said, I'm lashing out because I am for school choice because I'm an African American, she said, and this is help. This is what our population wants. They want choice. They want an avenue away from the schools that are horrible and failing our kids, where less than 10% of the kids can read and do math. They go to charter schools, and the numbers climb dramatically. And she's saying that her own party is choosing power and the teachers' union and their donations over the well-being of the African-American community. It's one of the scandals of the last few decades that so many elected officials are selling out their kids and not allowing their children to have choice. By the way, these elected officials, they're wealthy enough to have choice for their kids. If their school is lousy, they can afford to send them to a private school. But the poor kids in some of these urban areas don't have that option. And now school choice gives it to them, as they're doing in Florida and many other states around the nation. Charter schools work. That's why the public school teachers unions are against them. They're a threat. It's a shame that the Democratic Party has sold out to the teachers union and have thrown our kids under the bus.
Power than one thinks, I'll tell you that much. Just look at the endorsements and the folks who won the candidates. Who are now presiding over these school boards. I mean, it is unbelievable. By the way, Trish Cotham, give her credit, down in North Carolina for switching parties there, to support school choice. And by the way, the ultimate hypocrite is North Carolina's governor. This is a guy who has been criticized for opposing private school vouchers. By the way, he sends his own kid to a private school somewhere in Raleigh, North
Carolina.
That's
what I said, exactly. Rich people, the elected officials, they've got choice, but they don't want you to have choice. They don't want you to have a gun to protect yourself, but their bodyguards have guns, right? It's do as I say, not as I do. Rules for you, but not for me. That's the game they play.
Same guy, by the way, who attempted to end the state's Opportunity Scholarship Program. That provides vouchers to lower and middle-income students, folks. That gives you a sense of Ralph Cooper down in North Carolina. Unbelievable. Steve Levy, ladies and gentlemen. Common Sense Strategies. Give me the website of the magazine, Steve.
Well, the website is lifepolitics.com, lifepolitics.com. People can also get it on my website, stevelevy.info. Thank you so much for the opportunity, Jake.